Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
And we're back. Happy August, people.
August 1st.
Boys Lunch coming at you in August.
Live from?
My parents' house.
Kitchen this time.
That's right. We moved on up in the world.
Absolutely. Looking around, seeing some pictures of your beautiful family and picture from of Jason from circa 2008.
That might be his senior picture.
So 2006.
2006. 2006. Look at you. You're one of those guys, huh?
No, I'm not.
2006.
Looking good, Jason. Hope you're listening. Yes, this is Boys Lunch Podcast. As always, you can email us at boyslunch1@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at Boys Lunch Podcast. Rest in peace, Casey.
Speaking of rest in peace, Josh Vogel is still alive.
Is that true?
I saw him.
Where?
Did not talk to him. We went to Myrna.
On purpose? Avoided it?
Yeah. Did a classic Catholic get up and get out.
Yeah.
Don't talk to people type of thing. Yeah, I went to Myrna this past week because we were staying here. Mm-hmm. My parents' house is closer. Want to maybe see Father Schulze. Did not see him, but that's okay. But yeah, saw Josh Vogel sitting with his parents like a nerd. So externally, though, it still looks like he believes in God.
Nice. Was it the...
Cannot tell internally, though.
Was it the 4 p.m. mass? Because I'm having a hard time thinking of Josh getting up before noon.
Is it 9 a.m.?
Wow.
Yeah.
Josh, turn over a new leaf.
Yeah. He's wearing sunglasses, though, so I can't tell if he's awake or not. Anyway, I have had a lot of student spottings the past few weeks. Have you?
You have?
Been seeing people?
No.
Out in the wild?
No, that's not true. Got spotted at Culver's. Actually, I've been spotted twice probably in the last month. Both times I answered no.
Do you want to get personal shout outs or no?
Joey Leffers.
Yeah. You saw the Leffers, huh?
Carrington. Who else was there?
Was it Tar? Is that what you said?
Yeah. And then Claire Vogel was there.
Nice.
But I do the classic Mr. Rayburn? And I say, nope.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
Did you see Will Adams today at Meijer?
I did.
Yeah. We both went to Meijer at the same time. I've seen Will probably 3 or 4 times this summer at Meijer.
He's got to be working close to 40 hours because every time I've been to Meijer, he's been there.
Or he's just there whenever we're there.
No,
you think Will works 40 hours a week?
What, do you think Will is stock is? Yeah. Will looks like the type of guy that just likes to make money.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was wheeling around like a trash bin today. I was like, dude, this place looks great. You're doing a great job. We had to hang out with some former students, Eric Whalen and Will Dionysotis.
Oh, yes.
The other night with the Shoat Boys.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Joseph and Bobby.
They seem to be doing well.
Yeah.
See? Central Catholic. Forming children.
Yeah, it was a fun night. It's good to see them. It's cool to see students growing up and, I don't know, having grown up conversations and goofy, not grown up conversations. Got to meet up with Andy Borderwick too.
Yes.
The two of us. That was a lot of fun.
Longtime listener, supporter of Boys Lunch through and through.
Yep.
So thank you again, Andy, for hosting. That was phenomenal.
I had a blast.
It was great to see him. Always good conversation. Always good to see the family. We should have been doing fundraising stuff. What are we doing? Right? Just traveling around to different families, the Vogels, the Borderwicks.
Oh, we really should have done that. Like this summer, like a live Boys Lunch.
Because Dionysotis and others have, they're doing their focus stuff. Or they're raising money. This summer, we're missing out opportunities to not only make connections with the community, of course, but also to raise funds for Boys Lunch. I mean, Central Catholic. I mean,
Borderwicks is fun, though. Got to hang out with him and his wife. Got to see Jude.
Yes.
Local celebrity.
Man, the myth, the legend.
So that was awesome.
And who's going national. I mean, he's like running.
Which probably now, right?
It's already
happened.
It's already happened, yeah.
Hey, good luck in the past.
I think he did. I didn't hear how he did.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But I imagine it would.
Maybe he'll send us an email.
Yes, please, Jude, email.
But also got to just share a love of bourbon with Andy. Mm. On one of my podcasts, I think it was Real Recognize Real. We were talking about the process of going places and how an experience can win you over to a product.
Oh, yeah.
And I think one of the examples I gave was Maker's Mark, or some of those places. So it was cool that he had a very similar experience. So that was kind of cool just sharing that moment of, it's an evangelization thing, right? When you experience something that you you want to share it with the people around you.
And that's true.
And even if they don't know what anything in what you're talking about in the moment, they can tell the joy and how bought in you are.
Yeah.
And so it was like cool seeing that, because I had that as well within me. So that was fun.
Oh, and then also just like his own home brews and things like that. And then like taking us out back to see his hops.
Seeing the hops. That was so cool. That was fun. Sal and I had our 8th anniversary. So Paul and Mary celebrated theirs back in June.
Yep.
June
28th.
28th. I'm going to say 16th. It was way off. but on July 26th, we celebrated our 8th anniversary. So happy anniversary to my wife. You're my rock.
Where'd you guys go? Did you guys have a nice dinner anywhere?
We went to Meatheads with the boys.
There it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of a...
We might do something this coming weekend, like just the two of us, but it was just like in the middle of the week, and we wanted to hang out with the fam, and it's a place where all of us can get something, so it was good.
It's like Mary's got a birthday coming up, and like as we've gotten older, it's like less us going out, more us taking them to like Peoria Zoo, or
Maybe
we're going to see what the Decatur Zoo is all about this year, and find a place to eat.
See what it's all about.
See what it's all about. We've heard good things.
I've not. I'm just kidding. We took a trip out to IKEA probably 3 weeks ago, like a Sunday. And I feel bad because like we'd already done like a lot, I think, that Saturday before. Mm-hmm. And I think like pre-pregnancy, Stella like really likes when like I'll take some initiative and actually like, want projects to get done.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Like I'll step up. Like we've been talking about getting this furniture for a long time. Honey, let's get the boys in the van and let's drive up to IKEA. Let's get what we need to get. And we kind of overdid it a little bit. We stopped by Wally's on the way there, though, in Pontiac. Ooh. That was great. Very tempting. Mm-hmm. Really wanted to get beef jerky until I saw it was $27 a pound. But we got so much at IKEA that I had to take things out of boxes to get it to fit in our van on the way back. So just one of those trips.
That's how it's done.
Yeah. Putting together the last pieces now. That was 3 weeks ago.
Here, son, hold this chair in Ottoman while we drive 2 hours like back.
Oh, yeah. So I've been... I don't think July went by fast for me. I don't know about you.
No, we had that week-long vacation in Wisconsin in June.
Yeah.
And then it took us a while to kind of get back into the rhythm of summer.
I think June was fast for me, but July has been,
We really got to slow down and enjoy it, definitely in July. So now it's like, now that you've got 2 weeks left till school, it's like, even though it is a full 2 weeks, like Dan was talking about this today, like him and Karen were talking about.
Dan Hertzner, by the way, French teacher.
Normal community, Unit 5 represent. But he talked about the fact that like we're panicking because it's just 2 weeks left, or he was talking about like 3 weeks. But like when we get to Christmas break, we get a full 2 weeks. It's just like, oh, this is,
this is the longest break ever. This is amazing. Yes, we got plenty of time. I felt stressed this past week, and I feel like I was trying to like force summer to happen. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we're gonna enjoy these last 2 weeks. Cool. Anything else you get to share? What do you, you had a big project you just finished up.
Oh yeah. The garage. People really want to hear about me patching a garage and then Mary and I painting it. Absolutely.
Hey, shout out to your wife.
Yeah. Got it done. Got it.
She probably did most of the work.
She did. I mean, let's be honest. She does all the heavy lifting.
Just knowing you. I know you wouldn't get projects done if it wasn't for her.
No, you're absolutely right. If it was just me in a house, it would just be like on the verge of disarray continuously.
That's the beauty of marriage. Absolutely. Like there's things I can do. I need help. I need you to tell me to do it.
Or just someone to ask, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you thinking about maybe doing anything?
Hey, this would be a good weekend to get this done.
Right. I probably should have thought about doing something. Nice. But you want me to surprise you with the...
Absolutely.
What's going on?
I want zero prep.
Yeah, I've not told Paul. There was like two topics I had, and one of them I did share with Paul, and then when he got here, I told him that we were not going to do that one.
Perfect.
But this one I told them was more time sensitive because it has to do more with what I've been dealing with the past 2 or 3 weeks. Because mm-hmm. I think maybe like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we kind of talked about, hey, we should probably like, let's try to meet again. Mm-hmm. And I was like just trying to think what to talk about. And I had like just complete writer's block. Like I could not come up with like a single thing. There was like a few days stretch where I was just like, I don't know. My mind was just foggy. Mm-hmm. You been in that situation for stuff?
Oh, for sure.
School stuff, life stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get out of a funk like that, but I think summer is both good and weird for like the teaching vocation and the ministry. Cause like, it's a necessary thing for us, I think, to get a break, to recharge, to refuel, to focus on our bigger vocation of our family, hang out with friends. But like teaching, it's weird because you're in such a rhythm and in such like a plugged in community of like, you have to pump out ideas. You have to teach content. You have to administer things. You have to do ministry and, yeah. and build relationships. And then you're just taken out of that. And it is a great canvas of creativity. Mm. It can be, but it also could be like just this like vacuum of like slothfulness and laziness.
Oh yeah. And every summer I've got a 2 week period or so. That's like a black hole of like, it's not that I, like, of course I still like was with my family. We yeah. did things and we had fun. Right. But as far as like, usually I'm thinking about something for the school or wanting to change something for next year. But like, you know, I don't do much spiritual reading. I barely do anything other than the requirements. I mean, again, it's still a good time. Like I'm having fun, but like, as far as like when I sit down or I have time in the morning to like think about it, it's just like, I got nothing going.
Yeah. And I think for students too, like you're going, and you have this like weird end of the school year that, I don't know, isn't really much. Like you kind of, everyone's kind of given up the past few weeks. So you have this slow kind of drag into summer where you do nothing. And I think they fall into that hole of the abyss. Yeah. Where they're not challenging themselves or searching, seeking, creating, whatever. And then like an abrupt start to the school year.
Oh, yeah.
So like the summer can be very good, but it can also just be this abyss, this black hole, this like, I don't know, tendency to take setbacks.
Yeah.
Steps back, right? But anyway, I think I've had ebbs and flows of creativity this summer. And I don't know if, would you say the same for you?
Mm-hmm.
Were some moments like I just came off a week long, like split of just like, a lot of good work that I was doing for school. I finally felt inspired. I was coming up with good ideas for class, maybe some of the things that are coming up within ministry and like the culture of our school. Just like I felt like good and I was putting things together. But then like it was just weird that with that going on where I was doing so many great creative things for school, I just could not come up with a single idea for our podcast. But anyway, I think that's the case. I think there's periods of thoughtfulness and laziness in our lives. And I think the rhythm of it in the summer, and I want to see if this is the case for you. In the beginning, I feel like the ebbs become shorter and shorter. At the beginning, maybe my periods of laziness are longer to like snap out of and maybe get back into maybe some more thoughtfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think as the summer goes on, maybe it's because the proximity and the deadline.
Yeah.
You start to like, you snap out of the laziness quicker. Yeah. Would you say that's the case for you?
Yeah, I would say so.
And I don't think that's just for teaching and for people that are in school. I think that's probably the same for busy seasons of life for anyone.
Yeah.
Whether you're working, you're building up a family at home, like there's just some seasons that are busier. And I don't know, what I would kind of hit on is that idea of that creativity and the imagination. But I think the busyness gives us that illusion that we are being creative. And a lot of times it's hiding maybe the imagination and the soul seeking something, searching for something beyond itself. And not just being closed in on itself. And something I want to get at is this, and I don't know if this is going to be relatable to everyone, but I think you'll be able to relate to this. Sometimes I'm very productive school-wise, but not necessarily spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm going through, and I think I was going through a self-induced, like, dry period of prayer. It wasn't on God's part. It was more on mine. Like, my heart wasn't necessarily in it. God wasn't leaving me hanging, me taking me through like a dark night of the soul. You know yeah. what I mean? It wasn't an experience of like, God, why is this prayer so right. dry? I just wasn't giving him my all. My prayer was shortened. It wasn't as focused. It was more robotic and I was less present.
Uh-huh.
And I think that can be relatable to people in their lives.
Yeah.
We're experiencing dryness in prayer, but it's a lot of it is own. It's self-induced. And in my mind, I'm justifying it because I'm reading for school. Like I can't pray as much because I'm doing the spiritual reading. And it's kind of weird because our work is spiritual work. So it yeah. gives off the illusion sometimes of prayer and spirituality without actually going through prayer and spirituality.
Right.
I think that's the funk that I found myself in. Anything you can.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that today. This sometimes I lack humility in prayer and in my spiritual life because I assume because I'm acquiring knowledge and I'm putting in work and it's God's work because I teach this subject that like, therefore like fruitfulness and prayer should just come from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I'm asserting my will over this. I'm, you know, I'm reading, I'm collecting, I'm doing these things, I'm researching. And so it's just like, I can get kind of frustrated in prayer sometimes when it's not bearing fruit like I want it to, because I'm putting in the work, quote unquote, or as it gets into in the school year, like I'm just maintaining and trying to stay like one step ahead. And then it's like, even less time is being spent on prayer and feeding my own inner, for my own spiritual life. And that's at the cost of children, of the students as well.
Mm-hmm. Because I think, and somebody's listening to it, quoted the catechism on this, like there's two parts of really like this relationship with God. One is knowing the heart of God, and that's the theology of it. Mm-hmm. Like knowing this stuff, but also like knowing his plan for you. And I think a lot of that comes from prayer, and it's good to have both. You can't have, I don't know, just focus on one. You won't really know his plan if you don't know him and some of the theology about him and who he is. So they kind of work together. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason I had that writer's block is because it normally comes through the fruit of prayer and reflection. And I had just really hadn't been doing that. So even though I was intellectually piecing things together, I wasn't searching or imagining or expanding my soul. I think that's where the fruit of a lot of my thoughts come from, is when I'm expanding my soul outside of itself. You know, as Baron gives that image all the time of that buffered self.
Yeah.
Where you have this barrier, this buffer between your ego and the transcendent realm of God, of what is good, true, and beautiful. I think I was just staying on the other side of the buffer. I'm not reaching out. I'm just like piecing things together intellectually for myself and for my class. And I think just...
It's a matter of consumption and production, not to expand yourself, to expand your soul, to come to know and to commune with God. It's about me accomplishing something or acquiring something. And so then it becomes, it's for your own use, mm-hmm. your own self, you know, and less for like your ability to love others and to give of oneself or to grow closer to God, right? There's the relational aspect is lost. It's really more just focused solely on yourself and what you're acquiring.
Mm-hmm. And I think what I enjoy about my relationship with God so far is that I'm able to recognize that and be like, okay, like that's what it was. Like I'm able to look at that and be like, you know what? I wasn't doing this and that's why this was happening. And just be like, well, what do? Let me just start over.
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of it. Go first things first. Like God is God, and to love him above all things and to love other things because they lead me to God. Mm-hmm. That's the first things, first principle from Ignatius of Loyola. And just to return to like that message of simplicity of St. Therese, being that childlike, let me go back to God and let me just share things.
Yeah.
And there's something to that. And there's something in a Giussani book that we were just reading a few weeks ago. And it was to be childlike. And we've done a podcast on this, but not infantile.
Mm-hmm.
But more of like they're able to recognize reality in a way of to say like black is black, white is white. When I say yes, it means yes. When I say no, it means no. And just to get back to the straight facts and to take that to prayer in a way of like I wasn't sharing my life with God. How we come to know reality and how we come to know God is not just by analyzing. It's by sharing our life with him. And there's another Giussani quote that I saw. And he was talking about if you look at the Gospels, the people that really got to know Christ were not the ones going through the crowd seeking a cure, is the one that shared their life with him.
Mm-hmm.
They ate this meal and had this intimacy with him. They shared their lives. And so I think in prayer, I just had to start sharing that. Like, God, I've been selfish with my time. Like, this is what's been going on. I feel kind of lost right now because honestly, I have not been like focusing on you. And I think that is the fruit of prayer, is just sharing your life with God. I think when you're stuck in those moments of this dryness, a lot of it is self-induced, and a lot of it's because you're holding back just the reality of what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Today was a good day. Today was a frustrating day. Today I spent too much time on this. Today I was stressed about this. And I just wasn't sharing my life with God. And so I think in return, that reflection that comes and that fruitfulness that normally comes from prayer just wasn't there. Thoughts so far?
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful reflection. And I think one that's like, while yes, our situation is unique in the fact that a lot of our work, you know, is similar to, and maybe is, you know, in the same field, but it's not prayer, right? It's not. And it's an important thing that we have to understand, right? But also for others and ourselves, and maybe in the summers too, like, yeah, there's plenty of stuff to be doing and to keep ourselves busy or satisfied or distracted that, sometimes it's like, yeah, I carved out this time, but was it a time where I genuinely shared, or was it like me just punching the clock, which is still a necessary step. Like,
yeah.
You got to put in the time. But like being even reflecting on how I'm spending that time. And then like in your exam at the end of the night, like how was my prayer in the morning? Like, yes, I did my 20, 30 minutes or whatever, but like
I was a robot,
right? Is it me just doing it? Was I even awake? Was I, you know, that type of stuff. So I think, it's beautiful kind of reflection of like why that dryness was brought about.
So then like, I think that was one piece I wanted to share. And I thought maybe it would be practical, maybe relatable to people. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you just got to like snap out of the funk and see with clarity what was going on in your life, and then take that and use that within your prayer, because that was what was going on. That's what's real. That's what you need to share to God and work through. and used to have that springboard forward. And so I think once I finally started to look, I started to open up some more books of more for my own spiritual life, like more for my own reflection. I started to listen to maybe some more podcasts, less for work and more for like uplifting me as a person, as a husband, as a father. And a book I cracked open again was Return of the Prodigal Son that we discussed before.
Beautiful.
By Henry Nouwen.
Yeah, I got it this time.
Don't listen to that podcast where I called him Nouwen for like 20 minutes.
So many people wrote in.
So yeah, like I said, from this book, kind of just revisiting it, things finally started to open up. And I think from my prayer, it was good. And I started to read the end section of this where it talks about the love of the Father and the return itself. And I think going through this, like, not that I was in any type of prodigal son like moment within this this few days or weeks, or whatever. But it's just that reminder of the Father, like, always looking for us. I just wanted to read a section here. It says, as I let all of this sink in, I see how the story of the Father and his lost sons powerfully affirms that it was not I who chose God, but God who first chose me. This is the great mystery of our faith. We do not choose God. God chooses us. From all eternity, we are hidden in the shadow of God's hand and engraved on his palm. Before any human being touches us, God forms us in secret and textures us in the depths of the earth. And before any human being decides about us, God knits us together in our mother's womb. God loves us before any human persons can show love to us. He loves us with a first love, an unlimited, unconditional love, wants us to be his beloved children, and tells us to become as loving as himself. Now I wonder whether I have sufficiently realized that during all this time God has been trying to find me, to know me, and to love me. For most of my life, I've struggled to find God, to know God, to love God. I've tried hard to follow the guidelines of the spiritual life. Pray always, work for others, read the scriptures, and avoid the many temptations to dissipate myself. I've failed many times, but always tried again, even when I was close to despair. But the question is not how am I to know God, how am I to love God, but how am I to let myself be loved by God? God is looking into the distance for me, trying to find me and longing to bring me home. And I'll kind of end this longer session with this. In all three parables, which Jesus tells us in response to the question of why he eats with sinners, he puts the emphasis on God's initiative. God is the shepherd who goes looking for his lost sheep. God is the woman who lights a lamp, sweeps out the house, and searches everywhere for her lost coin. God is the father who watches and waits for his children, runs out to meet them, embraces them, pleads with them, begs and urges them to come home. It might sound strange, but God wants to find me as much, if not more, than I want to find God. And I think it just like brings back a lot of things that probably have touched us over the years and made our soul expand in some way. God is the one that's seeking us. I think that was just like, especially in that moment, I needed a reaffirmation like that. Mm-hmm. It didn't need to be this profound experience, but it was just like just open up your eyes again. You know, try prayer again, try these things that have worked for you in the past and remind yourself of how loved you are and how sought after you are. So that was like the first kind of cool moment.
Yeah.
Anything, or should I go to the next cool moment within this?
I like, I don't know. There's something beautiful in the fact that we've talked about how, because we were made for him, like our heart aches for him, mm-hmm. but it's like, when we're in the midst of these dry spells or we're ignoring or we're not spending the time in prayer, it's not like he's asking us to come back and make some sort of spectacular show. It's just to come back and rest with him again, right? I think that's the beauty of it. It's just like, like you said, it's a simple reset to come back and take it from the beginning, be like, God, here's where I am at. Here's where I am. Here's what I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. And it's in the beauty of that and the simplicity of that, that love is experienced.
And that's what I experienced. Like you said, the simplicity, that's what I was saying. Like, dude, just like first things first, calm down, go back to the simplicity of all this. There was a line in the parable of the prodigal son is a story that speaks about a love that existed before any rejection was possible and that will still be there after all rejections have taken place. Mm. Like even this small little rejection that maybe I wasn't even consciously aware that I was doing, you know, the busyness of life is still in a way was a rejection of that prayer and that relationship that I had known. I think that happens within our marriages, within our relationships at school. Like sometimes we're unaware that we're putting things before that relationship. And that is like in some way a rejection. But the cool part, like I love that. It's existed before the rejections happen and it still has existed even after the rejections. And I'll read just one last part. Oh yeah. So like when the son returns, the father does not even give his son a chance to apologize. He preempts his son's begging by spontaneous forgiveness and puts aside his plea as a completely irrelevant in the light of the joy at his return. But there is more. Not only does the father forgive without asking questions and joyfully welcome his lost son home, but he cannot wait to give him new life, life in abundance. So strongly does God desire to give life to his returning son that he seems almost impatient. Nothing is good enough. The very best must be given to him. While the son is prepared to be treated as a hired servant, the father calls for the robe reserved for a distinguished guest. Although the son no longer feels worthy to be called son, the father gives him a ring for his finger, a sandal for his feet to honor him as his beloved son and restore him as his heir. There's a few things in that I love. Again, like just the, doesn't give him a chance to apologize, doesn't, forgives him without asking questions, and cannot wait to just give him this new life. I just love that no matter how many times you return, there's that experience of like, dude, I still have this new abundant life to give you. And I'm still as joyful as I was the first time. So I think we come back as the prodigal son and we're on the property and we still even just like wander off in the field sometimes and forget the father's just waiting at home to like embrace us when we come back from like a day at work in the field or something.
Yeah.
There's moments that he's still just sitting on the porch, just like enjoying the presence that we were even there.
Yeah.
And just like what Nouwen really highlights is the quickness of it all. The quickness where he just, it's more than, he says, it's more than a human impatience. It reveals the divine eagerness to inaugurate the new kingdom that has been prepared from the beginning of time. It's not a human impatience, but it's quick. Get everything I have and let's share this joy. And elder son, I want you to be a part of this joy as well. Mm-hmm. Like everyone that's here, I just want to give you the kingdom that I have and this feast that I have. I'm willing to give my best. I'm willing to give everything. I'm willing to bestow all this stuff on you again. And maybe not every, I don't know, experience when we come back is like that, but I that was just a cool thing that got me back into some like inspiration, I guess.
Yeah,
and help kind of put all this stuff into perspective that I was working through, that I was going through in my writer's block, as I first called it.
And I think the experience is important in the self-awareness where it, like, yeah, you have these moments, but I think there's two ways in which we can kind of find ourselves pulling back from God, pulling back from prayer. Like some of it is like unhealthy distractions, like binging shows or playing video games for 3 or 4 hours. And like, we have that kind of like an uneasiness afterwards, like, oh, that wasn't what's best for me type of thing. But also it can be things that like need to happen and need to take place. They're like demands on our lives or responsibilities that we often too can kind of get lost and pull back because it's like, well, I'm busy. I have a lot of things I need to do. And yes, there are things that you can do, but it's important to carve out that time. And maybe something we'll talk about shortly, the importance of that, like getting up earlier or finding a time that works to carve out that time to rest with God, to feed ourselves, to strengthen our relationship with God so that we may attack those needs and ever-present needs of our lives and demands of our vocation, and to give us the grace and the strength to do those and to do those well, and for it to not have those regressions or diminishing returns because we're exhausted and overextended and we're not feeding ourselves. And how simple it is to come back to that, right? For me, it's always like, you know, head to confession and then just recommit to prayer. You know, that's and back to Myrna, right? That's, you know, they've got that Friday confessions for like 4 hours. It's like girls go down for a nap every couple of weeks. I go back and I just like do a recheck, have a good conversation with Father Schultz and just like,
Schultz-y,
and we're back. We're back at it type of thing. And it's as simple as that. Car ride included 20 minutes. And then it's like, I recommit to my prayer in the mornings, you know, type.
I think, part of what I was struggling with is I just wanted to give some like practical spiritual advice in some of these next few episodes, because I feel like we've been getting lofty in some of the ideas that we really like, but just like some of these basics that like that we go through as well that I think listeners can relate to is just something you mentioned. I think I want to get to in our next podcast, like carving at that time, especially at the beginning of the day, and how important that is. Just the practicality and how much that can drastically change your life to do that kind of stuff. But I think it's just like, even in those little ebbs that I was experiencing, like spiritually, God was waiting patiently, but also impatiently, so that when I finally threw that water on my face and kind of cleared my eyes, he's like, hey, we're back. Let's do this. Like, I'm ready to party again.
I've been waiting.
And now I don't have the book up right now, but he was even saying, like, I always saw God as a serious and solemn person. But if you look at how he describes it, he wants us to enter this banquet. And that invitation to a meal conveys that intimacy. Mm. Like that there, when Christ often, when he describes his kingdom of heaven, it's always his party. It's this banquet. It's this rejoicing.
Yeah, it's not a solemn banquet. Yeah. It's not like, yeah, like an awkward dinner with, like,
right,
you're just first meeting the in-laws. It's like this is a blowout party where he is celebrating the new life that you are enjoying, and everyone is a part of
it. And how sometimes all it takes is that, like, looking at that, maybe that image that inspires me, or to be able to look at my family again in the way that snaps me out of it. Yeah. Like, this is so beautiful. Yeah, that brings that joy again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's God saying, hey, we're back. Let's do this type of thing.
That is the beauty and the gift of children is, yeah, probably once or twice a week, I just have those moments of, like, my gosh, how lucky am I, type of things. And those are the things that we've talked about, those transcendentals, those moments of breakthrough, apathy, mm-hmm. breakthrough, a dryness, breakthrough, like, yeah, just this exhaustion to just recommit to God in the life that I know is so good.
Yeah, and I think I realized that was a kind of another reflection, the community that I have to, like, appreciate that. And I have my community and my family right now. There's different times in my life where I have different communities, and sometimes they can be good or bad. Mm-hmm. And I think when I've changed my life, my communities have generally been good. Yeah. To take advantage of them. Right now, I have a beautiful built-in community at my house mm-hmm. that can uplift me in so many ways. Yeah. And I think during the school year, to take advantage of that community that I have at the school mm-hmm. of, like, you and these teachers that I'm working with doing ministry and bouncing off ideas, but also just, like, learning from the students about, like, what is this new generation like, and what are these great ideas that they have, and how can they even help me learn?
Relationships are so much part of that, and have been so many of my moments of breakthrough, of realization of God's love for me, have come through good relationships. And back, so, like, when we were in college too, for those people who don't have family or don't mm-hmm. you know, aren't in a job in which they've got a strong community, like, yeah, it's those relationships and solid friendships. It's those discussions at night, or, you know, over a whiskey or over a campfire or whatever it might be, that really just, yeah.
And that's, like, the key to those relationships is sharing your life with them.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying at the beginning. The key, or what was going wrong with my relationship with God, is I was not sharing my life with him.
Absolutely.
Like, you see it in our human relationships. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah. And it's like our conversation with our get together with the Borderwicks, right? It wasn't, you know, of course he was very generous and what he shared, and it was the stories. It was the sitting together. It was the laughing. It was the sharing of our lives.
Inviting us into his home.
Like, yes.
There's just, like, a beauty to that. And, like, yeah, it's sharing, you know, this is my family. This is my life. And that was really touching. Like, I walked away from that night.
That's
thing.
What we'll remember.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, any shout outs?
I just want to shout out my parents. Going to see them both this week. Playing golf with my pops.
Nice.
Got lunch with my mom coming up. It's going to be a good week.
The preemptive shout out.
Yes. This is the, things are about to get busy. What are you doing?
Well, and, like, when's Joey actually going to get this edited by?
That's true.
Golf by the time. Shout out to Andy Borderwick. The Borderwick's having us over. Shout out to Will and Eric. It's good seeing him. I saw Meg Lance at Target really quick.
Oh, nice.
I think we were both under a good understanding of, we don't need to sit around and talk. It was just, like, a good hello. So that was nice. Anyway, yeah, I saw a lot of random people.
You're a popular man.
There's more. I forgot. I feel like you've seen people too. Don't lie.
I don't like to share that.
You know, exactly. Anyway.
For the kingdom.
For the kingdom.